Dzień dobry.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the presentation of BZWBK Group financial flash results for the fourth quarter and of 2017. I'm here with the CEO, Michał Gajewski, CFO, Maciej Reluga, Financial Controller, Carlos Polajno, Wojciech Skalski, responsible for financial accounting, and Paweł Prokopowicz, responsible for reporting in financial accounting. My name is Agnieszka Dowżycka, and I'm in charge of investor relations. I'm giving the floor to the CEO. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. As Agnieszka has said, today we have met to present the annual non-audited annual results for 2017. I think that this was a very good and interesting year for the banking sector in Poland, and it was very conducive for our bank. I have been heading this bank for over a year. In terms of macroeconomic environment, I will not tell you much because this will be covered by Maciej later on. But the growth of the Polish economy and elements of growth such as individual consumption and in the second half of of 2017, especially in quarter four, very visible investment growth. The environment in the European Union and in the world is very positive, and all this influenced our business as well. For Bank Zachodni WBK, this was a special year, in my opinion. I'd like to highlight the fact that we paid the dividend for the retained profit for 2014 and 15, which reflected and confirmed our stable capital position. We issued subordinated debt of $150 million in the form of IFC green bonds. And the third highlight was that we confirmed that we want to participate in the consolidation of the financial sector in Poland, and we announced in December, I'm sorry, that we are going to merge with a carve-out part of Deutsche Bank Polska. To remind, this is a carve-out part. It is only retail and business banking, excluding Swiss franc portfolio. And we think that both feed business and cultural feed are very big here, and our expectations concerning the development of the business, especially when it comes to private banking and affluent customers, our expectations are really high here. I would like to remind you that we continue operating as two separate entities, and our teams are working on the integration model. But before complete merger, we operate as two separate entities. I think that the transaction and the consolidation will be completed in the fourth quarter 2018. Now let us on to the slide number four. Here you have some information on the most important things in 2017. Gross loans up by 4%, and Maciej will cover that later on. It is excluding CHF. Total customer funds, a slight increase. When it comes to deposits, slight decrease. And as you know, we continue our strategy, which is based on the fact that it is the choice of customers. Term deposits of customers go to investment funds. There are transfers. These funds may also go to saving accounts. When it comes to current accounts, up by 11%, term deposits down by 13%. And you will just see the impact on the net interest income in the fourth quarter and in the total 2017. It was a positive impact. Our liquidity position is very good. For the total group, it is 96.7% when it comes to loan-to-deposit ratio, and a very dynamic increase of assets under management, 20% year-on-year in Arca. In total, we have 6.5 million customers, and it is 4.4 million customers in BZW BK alone. Now let us go to the next slide. Last year, we experienced an important change on previous years because we introduced a new strategy, Bank As You Wanted, and the first offer targeted at our customers was the Account As I Wanted. For the very first time in the market, the customer was given a choice, and particular functionalities could be switched on or off by the customer. Also, the fees could be chosen and selected by the customers. I think that this was very successful. And as of today, it is about 400,000 accounts as I wanted. Here, what makes us distinctive is that we did not target only some new customers, but we tried to address the needs of our existing customers, and they welcomed it. On slide number six, we can see some elements of our distribution strategy. We are focusing more and more on multi-channel banking, and as you might remember from our strategy, we want to be the best bank for customers. We want to be omni-channel, which means that we want to offer all access channels. But of course, our customers focus more and more on electronic banking. And here you can see that in terms of mobile transactions, we have an increase of 74% year-on-year, almost 24 million of mobile transactions this year. When it comes to the number of users of our e-banking, it is over 1 million. This is the increase of 27% year-on-year. In terms of the digital active customers, so the customers that use both mobile and online banking, there are over 2 million of them. Last year, we implemented some innovative solutions that make us distinctive on the market. What I mean here is the mode of logging in to our account, to our application, using the fingerprint. Video authentication with the use of face biometrics. We are first on the market here to use some algorithms that compare the image of a person with the photo on an ID. We implemented a trusted profile both for individual customers and small companies. And we need to underline the fact that the number of customers who use innovative payment solutions such as BLIK, Android Pay or HCE amounts to over 200,000. So here you can see that we are very successful in offering the whole set of these functionalities, and this was very welcomed by the customers. In the business banking,
we also introduced a couple of new solutions for the companies, especially SMEs. We definitely accelerated the credit process. The Business Express product is a good example where actually, by one click, our existing clients can get the credit decision, video authentication, and the trusted profile for the small companies. These are also things that we successfully introduced last year. When it comes to corporate banking, we developed the relationships with our clients by business corridors, especially international ones, our clients could quicker and simpler make use of the international footprint of Santander Group, the fact that we are present in South America, that we have strong presence in UK, Germany and Spain. So we made our customers get in touch with their potential of takers and clients there. And that was really welcomed. And this is a strong trend and it keeps growing. The next slide then, number 10, when we're talking about our financial performance. As you know, the net profit is 2.2 billion zloty. And if we tried to talk about like-on-like basis and to compare it to 2016, excluding the Visa transaction, thus, the underlying growth is 16% than in 2016. But even if we took into account Visa, it's still 2% better than in 2016. What is worth noting is that the charges taken to profits for our group in 2017 were 10% higher than in 2016. And that's more than 1.2 billion zloty, including 817 million in income tax and 424 million in banking tax. What's worth highlighting is that our core business yielded the growth by 9%. When it comes to net interest income, it grew by 11% and the net fee income 5%. Talking about ratios at the end of the year, the return on equity was 12.2, and it's worth saying that after three quarters, it was 11.7%. So in the fourth quarter, we improved the performance. And it's worth highlighting that also the cost-income ratio noted really good, was really good for 43.6%. So we continue the good trend. So it reflects both the income and cost sides. So we controlled both sides of the balance sheet. The Tier 1 ratio 15.28%, and the total capital ratio at 16.69%. That's all from myself, and now I'm handing over to Maciej, and he'll give you a more detailed overview of our performance. Good afternoon once again. Before we get to talking about our performance in details, let me talk about macroeconomic environment. I think everybody knows here that it's good, but if I just said that, it's if it was saying nothing. But yesterday we learned the missing element in the puzzle, that this information on investments. We all were waiting for revival in investments. It must have happened. Of course, some investments are well hit, some are missed, but given the growth on the European market, the growth in consumption, how the companies use their production capacities, and what are the restrictions on the labor market, well, it was all obvious that the investments will kick off, and it's 12% in the last quarter of the last year. Most likely 2018 will not be that brilliant. It's now in the order of 7%, but we have to await the detailed data on the GDP in quarter four. I think that's what quarter four shown us in terms of GDP, and its mix. This is all reflected in our performance and accelerated lending growth, especially when it comes to corporates and SMEs. Talking about interest rates, our scenario stays unchanged, and the one hike that you can see for 2018 on the slide is assumed to take place at the very end of the year. And if the NBP maintains their rates unchanged in line with their current communication, the impact of that hike on our performance in 2018 will be negligible, because that will be at the very end of the year. And if it doesn't take place in 2018, still that will remain without any repercussions for our forecasts for 2019. It's important that after the recent interview with the president of the NBP, we have clarity to what might trigger the change in the approach. And given that, we do not change our outlook. Talking about the structure of the GDP, I've already mentioned that just one thing that is important, that can be important in terms of risk costs, and I'll dwell on that a little bit more later. The cost pressure on the companies keeps growing now, especially when it comes to labor costs, but not only. It's interesting that in the recent reports from the European Union, for the first time we could see a clear growth in the wage pressure, not only industry, but also in services sectors, including financial sectors. So it's a challenge for our sector going forward. But talking about the risk charge, when we still are facing low inflation and the companies cannot shift the high costs they incur onto the prices, that means squeezing the margins, and the volumes are growing. So profit-wise, that's quite sound, but some risks are triggered nonetheless. Given our position, I wouldn't talk about any deterioration, but given that the GDP growth in quarter four is above 5%, historically, looking at different interdependencies, we could hope for more improvement in the risk charge. There is no improvement, there is a low, stable level without being influenced by the improvement in the macroeconomy. But I will come back to that later. Talking about loans and deposits in the sector, it is important to look at the balance sheet of the sector, or our bank, stripping it off by FX differences, because the growth of loans is by 4%, but on a constant currency basis it's roughly 6%. And if we look at the credit growth, if we actually corrected that by the FX growth, that will be 7%, notwithstanding the fact that some lines are not growing in our case, but like property, well, we have the two-digit amortization, for example, and when we are growing, you are outpacing the market. When it comes to deposits, the situation is unchanged. We have quickly growing current deposits, and in our case, the effect of the introduced account as I wanted is well reflected here. Also, it will be reflected in 2018, the decline in term deposits, and the trend will continue. That is the inflow to mutual funds, especially when it comes to household resources. Getting into more details, I think that the information on the slide is quite exhaustive. Let me just highlight that this time we are presenting in a bit different way leasing and factoring. In previous presentations, we are showing SME, including leasing and factoring, assuming that the most of that business is in that segment. But now we are splitting leasing and companies depending on the sector, SME or corporate. So in SME, we have SME leasing and corporate and factoring, and in the corporate, we have leasing and factoring for corporate. And you can see the growth, whether that's SME or corporate, we have nice growths. Also in global corporate banking. In each case, in quarter four, we had quicker growth than the average for the first three quarters. And as I said before, we can see the revival in macroeconomy translating into our performance. Oh, the other way around. that translates into the revival investments. Of course, talking about sectoral data is not so easy to analyze. And you might see the so-called investment loan in the NBP data saw already a two-digit growth in the second quarter, while the investments actually were not growing and it's been slowing down, while the overdrafts and the revolving facilities were accelerated heavily in the later quarters. So it might be just that some companies finance their investments through overdrafts or revolving loans.
Another aspect is that investment loan, which has been growing at the two-digit pace, was not reflected in a total investment growth because the scale of financing investment in the banking sector was not that big as we know it. When it comes to depreciation of CHF funds at a rate similar to the previous one, and of course the FX rate, which makes decrease of this line by 20%. The total loans increased by 7%. Individual customers up by 6% and 8% in corporate. So in every line we see a decent decrease. Sales. In terms of cash loans, we maintain sales of new credits in the fourth quarter at over 1 billion, and this was our target. And we need to remember about very good October, which was record high, just like in March, over 400 increase, quarter three on quarter four, about 6%. When it comes to mortgages, the market share is 12%, home for the young 17%. I think that it is self-explanatory and it seems that we are growing here in this segment very strongly. In terms of customer funds, asset under management, we have a decrease in total deposits at the end of the year. But I would like to remind you that this is the base effect at the end of the year of 2016, because we had some over liquidity and very big deposits at the beginning of 2017. So we are comparing ourselves to a very high results. Term deposits down, current deposits up, assets under management in net terms over 2 billion. If you compare assets under management at the end of the fourth quarter with the presentation at the end of the third quarter, it would seem that there was slight decrease, but it is not like that. One of the fund was closed at the beginning of 2016, so this is the effect of that, and we informed about that. Margin, another quarter of an increase here, 6 bps in the fourth quarter, mainly in funding and deposits. Net interest income up by 11% year on year, and I think that it is in line with our projections. We assumed that we wanted to increase the margin by a few bps every quarter. After the first quarter, we had to catch up, and we managed to do that. We even outperformed our assumptions. Of course, there may be a question, what will happen in 2018, so I will preempt that question. And assuming the situation will not change, in 2018 we may expect a similar trend to 2017, so every quarter would add up to that a few basis points, especially because of the account as I wanted, current deposits, more customers. But I would like to remind you that 2018 is a different year, taking into consideration the acquisition of Deutsche Bank, which, as you know from the presentation that we have shown to you after announcing the transaction, we take it over with a liquidity gap. And during 2018, we are going to bridge the gap. And we would like to address this issue. Of course, I cannot tell what forms it will take, whether we will have some cash borrowing from financial institutions or any other forms, some additional deposits, and in what segments. But, you know, the conclusion is that ceteris paribus in 2018 may not materialize because there is an element which will pose an obstacle to improving the NIM. Fee income. Here we can see very visible growth, 5% year-on-year, fourth quarter 6%. I think that there is a very important element which I'd like to mention, BZ WBK and SCB. In BZ WBK, the fees have grown quite rapidly, and in SCB there was a high impact of payments concerning fees. So the development of retail business, extension of contracts with networks, and all this influenced the results of the fourth quarter. Of course, the quarter four versus quarter three is under the impact of high base effect in capital markets. But I think in general, the fee income, taking into consideration the level of fees with us, up by 5%, I think that this is a very satisfactory result. Total income. I think that the highlight of that is that we have two in the front. In the past, we were over 2 billion, but it was when we had Visa, and now we have to exclude that. I think it is very important in broader context, because Visa is one thing. Let us remember that We sold
some assets from the banking books by 20 million less. We had dividend lower by 20 million. And notwithstanding that, we have the higher total income. Of course, there were some one-offs in 2017, but minor ones in quarter four. And you can see that in the report, but the scale is not comparable. So given that, the 2 billion witnessed under the income line is a really good one. In trading, when you take a look at gains and losses on financial transactions, it's a bit worse than in quarter three. It's a little bit less than 50 billion. It's close to the average for the three quarters, but we, of course, would prefer it to see something that we had in the quarter 1 to 3 and not 2 to 4. And when it comes to other income, I've already mentioned that, and in the report you can see the effect of selling the shareholding in one of the companies on our portfolio. Costs. The key thing is that the main lines are flat and the costs are similar to 2016. Of course, if you get into details, then you can see a lot of things happening. We continue the growth in expenses related to the development of our IT infrastructures, and that's well reflected in the depreciation line. We also have the growth in staff costs, which is driven by the factors I already mentioned before, and the review of the incentive schemes. That's why in quarter four we have a bit higher staff costs and we have a decrease in admin costs. So overall, that's flat. When it comes to 2018, if we were to assume any growth in costs, it will be marginal. If that will be really unchanged, like in 2017, given all the challenges that we already outlined, that might be a real challenge. Let's time tell us. Loan loss provisions and quality risk costs, lower coverage ratio, higher NPL, slower. We see the effects of the debt sales. That's reflected in the subsequent slide, and we are comparing how much we sold in NPLs in quarter four. The key things here. We kept saying over 2017 that The risk charge, excluding the sales of NPLs, should be in the order of 80 basis points. And if we calculated that on a static basis, well, if we didn't sell the NPLs, probably some of them would run off, but excluding the NPLs, we are in the order of 80 bps. What it will be in 2018? As I've said, well, we should assume, on the one hand, the improving macroeconomic sentiment, especially when it comes to households. So the condition of personal clients will be really favorable for us. On the other hand, there is a question how the cost elements, the cost burden of the companies will reflect our ratios. We don't see any deterioration here yet. We could hope that there will be improvement given the macroeconomic sentiment, but it's close to normal. The 80 basis points in 2018 might be taken as guidance, something that we would like to attain. The question whether we sell NPLs or not, we can't answer. This is a standing item on our agenda, and we definitely will go to the market with some debts, but we'll see what are the prices. And today we cannot really assume if that will materialize, just like in 2017. The approach will be similar. All right, then. And now I think I can summarize. Growth in the net interest income by two-digit, growth in fees by 5%, cost under control, cost-income ratio declining further, 2 billion in total income more, net profit higher than in 2016, despite the fact that in 2016 we had a lot of non-recurring items that have boosted our profit, excluding Visa, stripping off other items, we could play with that, but if we exclude the Visa alone, the underlying growth is 16%, and I think that's what we should focus. And maybe one more thing, and a little add-on to what I presented, an additional slide referring to the impact of IFRS 9 implementation. We are presenting a table on that in our report as well. Of course, more details will be presented in the annual report published in 2 weeks' time. For the moment, the key conclusion is that the total impact shown in the table on our capital ratio is 20 basis points. Taking into account that we will be amortizing that impact for 2018 alone, we see the impact of 2 basis points as a result of this phase-out implementation, which is negligible. And that's all from ourselves, but definitely you have some questions, so feel free to go ahead with your questions. If there are no questions, then thank you very much. No, I'm just joking. Well, there is a question. Please talk to the microphones, there is translation. I just wanted to ask you to tell something about addressing the liquidity gap in the mortgage in the Deutsche Bank. Will you be regularly bridging that 5-6 billion missing, or will that happen more in quarter four when you close the deal? Probably you are not doing anything towards that end at the moment. Well, I haven't seen the data on the Swiss francs, but what level of dividend now you can pay out given the regulatory requirements? Referring to the first question, we don't do that yet. when it comes to bridging the liquidity gap in Deutsche Bank? But I wouldn't assume that we can leave it gathering 5-6 billion from whatever sources until fourth quarter. It's obvious that we will have to take actions in the course of the year. What will be the schedule of actions? That will depend on the instruments, how much we will be doing that in deposits and borrowings. And we are working on that scenario all the time. And I think that in quarter one, this will not be reflected at all. And then it will be spread over time. When it comes to dividend, and thank you for the question because that's the question asked over the internet. What is our ratio and will that allow us to pay out dividend? We actually informed you about everything in our current reports. We have the FX buffer at 44%. We have other significant institutions, OSI buffer at 50%. So 75%, as defined by KNF, we meet that 75% ratio very easily with a lot of headroom. If we add to that the additional impact on of the stress scenario, that will give us 71. We are getting to the ratio which theoretically allows us to pay out 100% of profits in dividend, which is 16.65. As you might have seen on one of the slides, based on the initial non-audited results, it's 16.69 in capital ratio. So based on the initial data, we have 4% headroom over 100%. When it comes to the payout ratio, we are the bank with a Swiss franc portfolio, and both Swiss franc criteria pertain to us, and we have to deduct from the total capital ratio both the 50 and 20 is due. So we can say that the indicative total capital ratio for the year, if we deduct from that 30%, that's something that we can think about that, but the management board has not taken any decision when it comes to dividend for 2017. Of course, we will be in contact with the regulator on that issue, and once we take the decision, this will be published to the market. But let me remind you that it's been always our strategy to pay the dividend. And until the new criteria for Swiss emerged, we always paid out 50% in dividends, and that was our strategy.
Are there any other questions? Okay. I have a question concerning costs of financing. Have you managed to decrease it quarter on quarter, or it stems from some decreases in interest? It stems from the change of structure, current versus term deposits. We had a slight decrease in the savings account. And at the savings account, we have a rate for new funds at the level of 2%. And after the period, promotional period, I would say, this 2% is decreased to some 0.7%. And this rate on the savings accounts was decreased slightly in the fourth quarter. So this is mainly because of the change of structure, which was also fueled by the account as I wanted because it improves the structure, plus the transfer from term deposits to ARKA funds. Are there any other questions? If there are none, thank you for coming, and let us have some discussion offline. Thank you.